flowers, isn't she good?
I think it was changed.
Oh.
It was.
Do you have the change sheet?
So, it's 2:45 now.
Oh, no.
We're shot so there.
That's where I went.
There was that one.
I hope I wouldn't disappoint you if you stayed.
Do you know if Violet Rose got here or not to do her workshop?
Changes to Friday. I'm looking. 2:45. It's moved to 1:30 to 2:30. Y'all, it already happened, Margaret. It was 1:30 to 2:30 in room 1A.
That was Margaret Flowers?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, no.
Maybe she recorded it.
Single payer health care was moved to 1:30 to 2:30 in room 1A. It's in your thing under addendum. That's sucking. That sucks.
I'm sorry. Well, this
was good.
So I'm going to go get Infidels because that water is filled. And if you can wait until I get back, everything's so. I mean, I've got a pool of water in my.
You might be my only one, but that's okay.
Maybe.
I'm recording it for posterity.
I don't like being recorded, although you can do what you want. I'm not attached. I don't enjoy it, but I can survive it.
What's attached mean? I'm not attached.
It means that I'm willing to let go of my own expectations or desires in this particular moment.
Oh, I like that.
Not being attached to them.
I like that.
Yep. Buddhist stuff.
I thought it was 12-step stuff. I remember
it might be. I think it's more Buddhist. Well, or the 12-steppers took it from the Buddhists, as they took many things. No disrespect. But, you know, it was a white guy came up with the 12-step, so I think it's very much based on gender and class and race stuff. No, it's not horrible, but it serves a certain type of person better than other people.
Gotcha.
It doesn't serve everybody best.
Gotcha. Okay, so let me bring up the PowerPoint.
Now, when David started, there were about 5 of us in here, and you saw how many there were at the end. People just kept wandering in, so.
Yeah, they have to walk over.
I know.
I managed to get a shuttle, because I have
bad
knees, you know. Okay, so let me, I'll give you some handout.
Woohoo! Propaganda. We love propaganda.
I don't call it propaganda, I call it information.
And what is your topic?
This is in our national platform, is greening the dollar.
Okay.
And it's the Green Party has in it, that greening the dollar is the only piece of our platform that was ever put in a bill into Congress.
Okay.
To change how our monetary system works.
And it's not MMT, like you were talking about MMT,
yeah.
It's not that.
You're going to be talking about financial stuff?
Yeah.
But not MMT.
You can ask MMT questions. I can answer whatever I know about MMT, which I know. I've learned a lot recently, but.
Well, that's the argument I get from people that are against the Green Party. They
is
say,
it,
well, the
they
Green
don't...
Party doesn't understand MMT.
What's to understand? I mean, I don't, you know, I did have a degree in economics in college, but I, and maybe it's more complicated than I imagine, but it doesn't seem.
Actually, no.
Like, what's to understand, seriously?
It's real simple.
Yeah, right? It is.
MMT says, and I think that's what's happening now, spending comes first.
Right.
Then taxes.
Yes, right. That's not new, though. They've been doing that since
That's the
forever.
Whole premise of MMT.
What?
That the spending comes first, not the taxes.
How
most people think we're getting taxed.
To spend.
To get money to spend.
But that's not really how the government done it. The government spends the money before
first.
They have anything.
That's
yes,
MMT.
They do. So So you're saying our government is run on MMT?
Well, they just print money when they need it.
That's right.
So they're spending it before they get the money from the taxes.
Which they've done for forever and ever, amen.
But the problem is, when they keep creating money, eventually, we're going to have inflation.
That's true, too, but they don't care because it serves them.
If you really want to understand MMT, I would stay for an explanation of the current monetary system.
Is that what you're going to talk about?
Yeah.
The current monetary system.
Yeah, and I have handouts of my talking to an MMT advisor and him responding to me. Which
you have handouts now?
Which might be, you know, helpful, too.
You're going to do that now?
Yeah, I'm doing it right now. You want to see it?
Well, Do I get a handout?
You can get a handout. You're going to get you're going to get my last copy.
Okay.
What post is that? Post number 2?
Well, I'm just asking, so it's a handout.
It is 2. This is from the National Committee listserv.
This is the first one?
Number 1 is the first one.
Yeah, I know. That's the second one?
Yeah, number 2 is the second one.
And you're going to talk about both of these?
Yes, yes. Yes, I will.
And this is the Green Party's, how they see the financial, how the financial system works?
Yes. I am.
The platform.
The platform. Green the dollar is our platform for monetary reform. To move us away from...
Yeah, that's what you're going to talk about. Okay, yeah, let's... I'm interested.
Move us away from what? Fed? When I was in college and I learned that the Fed was a bunch of rich guys that decided the value of money, I almost lost my flipping mind. As a poor person, when you hear that kind of shit, you want to like blow shit up.
Yeah, 1913.
Yeah, that's true.
And I was a good student and a non-violent person, but I still wanted to blow shit up.
Woodrow Wilson did that.
Created the Fed?
Yep.
These are both number 1, sis. Oh, no, 1's number 2.
Can you come up closer, because they don't have us having audio-visual access. So,
Okay, Sue Peters.
Yes. I'm just cleaning up here. I can hear everything.
Oh, and here's a sign-up sheet afterwards if you want to get more information. Okay, so...
Yeah, because I want to know how to argue with these people. Or discuss, I should say.
Okay. No, you like arguing, Matthew, I can tell.
I don't have confrontation,
yes. Matthew, what state are you from?
New York.
Okay, you're from New York.
You're from New York? She's from Ohio.
I'm
from
Ohio.
She's from New York.
Oh, I'm both. Ohio and New York.
Oh, okay.
Both,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And what state are you from?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. I had a friend there.
All right.
North Carolina is getting big into hemp.
Oh, well, we'll see.
They are. They're the leaders of the hemp movement.
Okay, so I'll go through my slides first slowly, and if you have any questions, can you write them down? So, you know, because there will probably be a lot of questions. First, let me I'm Sue Peters. I live in New York.
In the city?
In the city.
You have to say New York City, you have to understand. Ithaca.
She lives in Ithaca, which is like way all about almost freaking
what's
Canada.
What's your name again?
Sue Peters.
Sue Peters?
Yes. I live in New York City. I've been a Green for many years. I'm a member of Manhattan Greens Club, and I'm a delegate from my county Greens to the New York State Committee. Okay. So, but I've never done anything nationally. But I have 35 years experience working in technology on Wall Street. And this is, I came across what the monetary system was, you know, the Fed and all that, by working on Wall Street but being very curious. A lot of people work on Wall Street.
Don't care.
They're not curious. I would go into every brokerage house and insurance company, and the last 15 years was my first bank, Citibank. I worked there for 15 years. And I'd go in and I'd go, what is this business all about? So when I got my job at Citibank in 2000, it was my first bank, I went in. The first day, I started to look at the data files, and I said, oh, this is just debits and credits. What is this? Is a bank just debits and credits?
It's not real. Nothing's real.
That's what a bank is.
That's right.
The bookkeeping.
That's right.
And the law that they have. They have the law, the Federal Reserve law, to tell them that this is what they can do. So I discovered that while I was working, not from the bank, but, you know, from being curious and trying to figure things out and coming across an organization in Chicago that made sense to me, the American Monetary Institute. And the founder of that gave a talk in 2004, and two Greens in Missouri heard him, and they said, this has to be in our platform. And 2010, they got it finally into the platform. I think they worked on it for 4 years to get the states to agree. And it's a wonderful monetary reform, and I'm defending it right now, because right now MMT is coming to the party and is submitted through Nebraska State Party, has submitted all these seven amendments to our national platform, and one of them is ripping out Greening the Dollar totally.
Ripping out what you did?
What
do you mean?
What the Greens from Missouri getting the okay from the state parties managed to get into our platform. Hi.
Hello. Sorry.
If you can pull a chair up, because we don't have a... Yeah, I mean,
well,
this is...
Well, in this one, my leg is using it, but I can lift.
Bring this one in.
Okay, cool.
So,
yeah.
There's a history to how it got into the platform and who put it there and why. And a group of myself and like four or five other Greens from around the country, in 2015, we decided to create a website that would explain this platform, Greening the Dollar, to the Green Party. So you, after my talk, when you're back at home and you have some time, I would suggest that website, because Howie Hawkins from New York, who understands the monetary system very well, he suggested that we create this website for Greening the Dollar. And he said one thing, he said, but keep it simple. And we did that. The four or five of us who worked on it, we worked on it over 3 years.
And he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's great. I'm trying to do everything I can in New York.
That's
I mean,
so
my
nice.
God, what can, I mean, it's,
I know.
And this Cynthia Nixon shit, please, you know, but maybe he'll benefit from it all. Anyway, sorry.
Okay, so the website is one word, greensformonetaryreform.org. Okay. Okay, so I'm gonna, some of the stuff here, some of you may be aware of, but most people in America are not aware of this, okay? So let me, see. Oh, I have my mouse.
Reform.org?
Yes, that's the website
green
that explains this piece of our platform, Greening the Dollar.
Is it green or greens?
Green.
Green.
Just
with
green.
An
S. With an
plural.
S. With an S.
Plural.
Greens.
Yeah.
It's plural?
Yes.
Oh, greens for monetary reform.
Open. Okay. Open with. Okay.
Ron Paul was trying to do that on his platform in 2008.
Do what?
Eliminate the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. Even
that's
MMT
why I voted
says,
for him in the Republican
right.
primary.
But, you know, even MMT will say bring the Fed into the Treasury.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of different groups against the Federal Reserve system.
Well, the Federal Reserve's a private institution. It's not even, it's a quasi-government. It's really like a corporation.
For rich people.
For rich people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's
one, for the 0.1%.
Yeah, there's a long history to the, how it was created. Okay, here we are.
This is a reading test, I can tell.
You want to get closer to?
No, I'm good.
Oh, okay. Okay, so monetary reform in the Green Party national platform, currently there, greening the dollar. So I've already said, you know, I'm also an advisor this year in the for monetary reform for the listserv of the national committee. And what I handed out to you were the two posts that I did there and the response. I haven't done any other posts at that listserv. There's two other people. One is another advisor supporting Greening the Dollar. He's done a lot more posts. And then there's a Green from Tennessee who's given talks over the years at national meetings about Greening the Dollar. Okay, so Okay. Monetary reform. The U.S. does not have a money supply. This is Carl Herman, who's a writer, 2012. But it's Orwellian opposite of a debt supply. Okay? We talk about the money supply. He's saying, no, it's really a debt supply. Banks and the Fed. And I'm going to say banks. Banks create what we use for money as debts. That's the base of this system. Then charge all of us interest to use our own money supply.
Exactly.
The Fed doesn't create our money. Our money is bank money, right, in our checking accounts and savings accounts. The Fed creates reserves that are only bookkeeping entries that go on between the commercial banks and the Fed. So we can't do anything with reserves, but we have bank money. That's what is given to us in the Federal Reserve War. Okay. So here's Aristotle, and he said about money. For money was intended to be used in exchange, but not to increase the interest. To take money that we all need to exchange our goods and services to live, have a good life, raise families, to put interest on that is usury, as the church used to call it usury, and they were against it. But unfortunately, history has laid the yoke of interest money on us here. This is the founder of the American Monetary Institute. This is the man that DeBerry and Ben Kelsis out in Missouri heard in 2004 and recognized the significance of what Stephen was talking about. And Stephen always would say, he passed away last year, but Stephen would always say, over time, whoever controls the money system controls the nation.
Right. David Rockefeller said that too.
Well, he had the power when he said it.
He already stole it. So he was speaking from his direct experience.
Right.
He was quoting David Rockefeller.
No, he wasn't.
Well,
maybe Rockefeller.
Rockefeller said it first. How old is that guy?
Rockefeller said, someone asked Rockefeller, where'd you get your money? And he said, I got it from God. Maybe that's the quote you're thinking.
Rockefeller said that too.
Well, okay, they both said it.
Well, he took it from Rockefeller.
Could be.
Well,
anyway,
yeah,
it's true.
Who was one of the guys that was, his father helped create the Federal Reserve. Rothschild, Rockefeller, Warburgs.
Yeah, all those names.
J.P. Morgan, Chase. Yeah. That's who created the Federal Reserve in 1913.
They gave us this system.
But anyway,
we have today.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay.
You make it sound like a gift, Sue.
Marshall McLuhan. Only the small secrets need to be protected. The large ones are kept secret by public incredulity.
Oh, that's
and this
great.
Is what the monetary system is all about.
That's right.
People can't believe it.
It's
not taught to us in our schools, so there's nothing for people to hang their hanger on. You know?
That's very powerful.
Greg Coleridge.
Moved to amend. He's now a staff person for a move to amend.
Yes. Oh, you know Greg?
I do.
Oh, he's great. I love him.
I'm on the board, so I'm his boss.
Northeast Ohio.
He does still live there.
Yeah. American Friends Service Committee said, the general public is unwilling or unable to believe that the vast majority of the money of our nation is not created by our public government, but by private financial entities out of thin air as debt. And out of thin air is creating bookkeeping entries. That's what it means.
That's right.
It's all bookkeeping.
Yeah, the money, the actual money in the system is only like 3%.
The actual cash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coins
right.
and dollars,
right.
It's like 3%.
Right.
The rest is all, like you said,
it's all paper. It's all
paper money.
Yeah. Or
on
paper.
Hi.
Electronic.
Hi. Yeah.
Electronic.
Good to hear.
Thanks.
Do you want to move forward a little?
Oh, no, I'm good.
Okay. Hi, I'm going to talk about two things, the system and then its consequences. The system. That's my little helper, Mr. Einstein. Listen up. Meet the system. Private banks create the money we need. That's our system. Private banks, that's me when I found out that No, I'm serious. It was 11 o'clock at night. I was watching. I said, I'll put on a documentary, you know. And I put this documentary on, and the first third of it said, the government prints bonds, gives it to the banks. The banks create the money and give it to the government. I said, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I was like that, and I was dizzy for 6 months. That's the way I explained, because I couldn't. You know what they say, cognitive dissonance.
Yes.
You can't.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not the way it works. You know. You don't have to believe me, says Mr. Einstein. Here, listen to others. Here is Robert Anderson, the Secretary of the Treasury, under Eisenhower. When a bank makes a loan, it simply adds to the borrower's deposit account in the bank by the amount of the loan. Money is not taken from anyone else's deposit. It's new money created by the bank for the use of the borrower. That's what our system is. This is Mariner Eccles. He was chairman of the Fed under Roosevelt. That is what our money system is. If there were no debts in our money system, there would not be any money.
Right.
Because our money comes whenever a bank makes a loan or buys a security, but most of it is they're making loans, mm-hmm. creating it. Let's look at the money system. How does it work? Now remember, the bankers who created the Federal Reserve System back in 1913 knew exactly what they were doing. Mm-hmm. Exactly, because many of them came from Europe, which had this system. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this system comes from the Bank of England in 1694. That's when it started. So, hi.
Do you think we could open up the circle?
Well, if you want to
come. Yeah, great, thank you.
Yeah. Hi. You want to pull a chair so you can see? Because we don't have the use of the technology. Okay. Maybe I'll just. I'm just going to read these two quotes again for the sake of the new people. Okay. This is the description of our monetary or money system today, currently. When a bank makes a loan, it simply adds to the borrower's deposit account in the bank by the amount of the loan. The money is not taken from anyone else's deposit, it's new money created by the bank for the use of the borrower. And Mariner Eccles, Fed chairman during Roosevelt in the 30s, this is what our money system is. If there were no debts in our money system, there would be no money. Let's look at the money system. How does it work? Okay. When a private commercial bank, and that's, you know, a bank that makes a loan in this country is a commercial bank. So when a private commercial bank makes a loan, it creates money. And the money supply we all depend on grows. When the loan is repaid, the principal is repaid, the money disappears off the books of the bank. So then the money supply shrinks. And what was happening in the Great Depression of the 30s was that loans could not be repaid. So they were being erased from the books of the banks, and the money supply shrunk, which meant businesses went bankrupt, people lost their jobs, and you had the whole Great Depression because of this system. And this is the same system that caused the 2008.
Right.
And those are major, major depressions, but this system is always unstable. So you're always getting recessions, and then you're getting asset bubbles, right? Yeah.
Well, Glass-Steagall, when they incorporated Glass-Steagall, they put regulations. The reason for the crash of 2008 was when Bill Clinton repealed Glass-Steagall. That worked for 65 years.
That contributed to it. It wasn't the whole thing.
Not the whole, yeah, it didn't cause the whole thing.
Definitely
that was one of the big contributors of repealing Glass-Steagall.
Yes.
Regulations.
Right, you're right.
Banks didn't have to follow anymore.
Right.
So can we make a pleasure?
Should I hold the questions till the end, or it's a small enough group, you know? Okay. So, And this is me. What? This can't be. We all need that money. It mustn't go away. Of course we know that every borrower pays interest. The problem, additional problem to just what we just learned,
right,
is that according to the system, what the bankers designed,
right,
the bank never creates the money for the interest, just the principal of the loan. So, why not create the interest, this woman is asking. Whoops.
That's how they force us to work.
Since the money for interest is never created, money is always scarce. Where will I get the money to pay the interest? It's not created by these private commercial banks. Look here. With more loans.
Right.
That's why, well, today we're in so much debt. The
right.
federal government, the state government, the municipalities, our personal credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the worst that's come along has been the student debt.
Right.
You know? See, they're slowly strangling us, not
exactly.
them. But us,
exactly.
You know, and they do it. It's, you know, it's like a slow process, you know, of like boiling the frog, you know, on the top of the stove. And we've gotten to this horrible place where there's so much debt on people's lives,
right.
basically debt slaves to this system, you know, the system. So, or the banks get the wealth, right?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I don't understand. When you say originally the bank just increases the amount
in the borrower's account. Yes.
But then doesn't that have to be reduced in terms of the assets of the bank on their balance sheet?
No. No.
Of course.
No. This is why it's difficult to understand. They create it and put it in the borrower's account. It's a bookkeeping operation.
But then there's the federal regulations for a loan to asset ratio, and that requires calculation of on the books of the bank, and that has to be shown as a liability. So what about that? It is
right now, and I can give you sources of very reputable economists who have studied this, right? Right now the banks can create as many loans as they want and as big as they want, and there's really no law or regulation that's curbing them in. So I asked a friend of mine who's a national bank examiner, he's been that for 20 years. So they go in, he works for the federal government, for the controller of the currency, and he goes into national banks and he audits them, right? So I said to him, I said, well, what about, you know, if the bank wants to create, you know, loans. He said, you know, the banks have a month to find the reserves to back those loans. I said, a month? He said, yeah, by law.
Okay, but they do have to find reserves.
Eventually.
Okay.
And they find them by borrowing them, right? They borrow them.
Who do they borrow them from?
They borrow them from other banks.
From other banks.
There's a market between
all
banks.
Interest.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to interject something here.
Yeah.
It's called fractional reserve. They only
right.
have to keep 10%.
Right.
Yes, that's
don't
exactly
even
what I'm talking
deposits.
About. Yeah, that's my question. I understand that, and
yeah.
that's what I'm asking.
She's asking
explaining.
Yeah.
So.
She's not liking your in.
Like
I've heard
it. She's irritated by you.
No, it's called
just
fractional reserve.
No,
everyone
can
see. I just want to tune into what
right.
she's
saying.
Yes.
Okay, so
okay.
this is my understanding.
Well, wait one second. I just want to say everyone should speak and just not interrupt the other person
yes.
speaking. But I want everyone to feel like they can
yes.
can say their mind.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Okay, my understanding of, and I've been a nurse now for 30 years, but before that I was in banking for 7 years.
Oh,
and
there you go.
Low levels of banking. I was never. But my understanding of how the system worked in banking is that, okay, you get your paycheck or you sell your the what you've grown and you get money for it. You deposit it in the bank. So that money is in the bank. It isn't until that bank then loans out the money that you have on deposit to other entities at interest that bank creates any income for themselves to pay the employees all the way up to the CEO.
So there's a balance. You know, they don't keep all. They don't keep all of the money that's been deposited in the bank.
Right.
At the bank, a lot, that is most of it, less than 10%, or
they only have
less
to keep
than 10%, is loaned out in the form of loans at interest, and that's how they earn their income.
Right.
Is the interest. Let me finish. Mm-hmm. Then when people make payments on the loans, now then that there increases the amount of money that's just sitting there, but not creating any income for them to pay their expenses. So they, every time you make a payment on your loan, then they take that money and they loan it back out to other lenders because they're always wanting to be loaning the money. They don't make any money on the money that's just sitting there. In fact, they have to pay interest.
That was a lot. Well, let me just say, that's not how the system works. Mm.
That's how we're told.
Ah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Oh yes. They don't want, do not want us to know.
I understand.
This at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, well, a lot of, Occupy Wall Street, I was in alternative banking, Occupy Wall Street for a year and a half. And I kept trying to bring this up in Occupy, in that group. And there were 3 to 4 people there that were there specifically to stop this message from coming out. And I stayed for a year and a half because it was such a education for me to see it happen. Oh my God. I'm just gonna say one example of it. There was a woman who would come regularly. She has a big blog on the internet with 100,000 people who listen to her. She's progressive, supposedly. She would come, and one time, Stephen Zerlanger wanted to come and talk, right? Occupy would, you know, we voted on it. We said yes, you know, because he was going to talk about what greening the dollar, basically. And he came, and he was just about to speak, and this woman became histrionic and jumped up and said, "I can't stand it, I can't stand it. He's driving me crazy." She said, "I have to leave." And I'm there and I'm thinking, "Yes, please leave." And she goes to the door to leave, and this other one, you know, the people there that control the message, she gets up and she goes, "Eve, don't leave." I was like that. It was a melodrama. I could not believe it. So then Eve comes back and there's all this hoopla, right, because she's been histrionic. And another one of the control people, who was the organizer each week, she said, "Well, everyone is so upset, we'll have to end now." And he never got to talk. Never got to talk.
Those were infiltrators then, right?
Yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was like, it was such an education for me.
How deep this is.
Yeah. Well, they do not want this information out.
No.
Exactly.
So, then of course the bank gets the wealth, which they call collateral, but it's our wealth. But they get it—the cars, the houses. You know.
You mean when people default?
What?
Yeah, the banks.
When they can't pay their foreclosure. You know, that's foreclosures,
mm-hmm.
or they can't pay their, they can't get enough money to pay the next.
Okay, I got you right. Default.
You know, car
yeah.
payment
okay.
and you know.
I understand.
Okay, the system demands that more loans be created, or else the money supply shrinks, because people are paying their loans off. You've got to keep creating this debt money, you know? And if the money supply shrinks, like in the Great Depression, you will get defaults, foreclosures, bankruptcies, unemployment, and a depression. And that's basically what happened. It was the money supply shrunk in the Great Depression. Okay. Now think of it also about the system. It's the banks that decide first who gets our money. Mm-hmm. We're not deciding that unless the Congress spends it, but even then, they're spending out of our taxes. They're not creating the money for the taxes. They're getting taxes from us. Or they're spending with the money that they get from loans, mm-hmm. most of which come from the banks. You know. So the bankers are deciding who's going to get this money and how much. I had a girlfriend. She was worked for 10 years for Paribas French Bank, which is a multinational bank. They have a big office on 8th Avenue, big building. And she said to me, she's a farmer, actually. She's a small farmer. But she needed money to make money so she could go buy her farm. She's upstate now. And she grows medicinal herbs, Chinese medicinal herbs. So she worked for 10 years as a secretary at Paribas. And she said there were 10 marketing managers on the floor, and there were 10 secretaries, one for each. And she said the whole time she was there, they typed up all the loan agreements from this bank. She said the whole time she was there, there was not one loan made less than $1 billion. Now, remember, this is money that they're creating and giving mostly to multinational corporations, weapons manufacturers, agro-business. Think of all the corporations that are ruling our lives. They're funded by this system. Mm-hmm. And that's why they don't want us to know about it.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. So, the private bank money system is the root cause and driver of corporate capitalism. And this is I gave a private class to a group of people on Stephen Zarlanga's book. It's the history of this whole, of money, basically. And there was the students were great. And this one student, one day he said this, I just thought it was brilliant. He said, "The essential feature of capitalism is the misuse of the money system. This is capitalism's most essential feature and completely missing from the study and definition of capitalism." He said that, and I said, "Martin?" I said, "That's brilliant." He was very smart.
And who was that?
That was a student in my class. I gave a private class in this. I'll show you the book later. It's a picture of it here. So think of it. Here's one example. This system empowers factory farming over small farmers. We've lost so many small farmers over the last 60, 70 years. And this industry is just horrible. And empowers multinationals who destroy the environment. They can go and get money created for them by these Wall Street banks. And I'll give you a suggestion. If you're interested in fighting a certain corporation in your neighborhood or state, and it's a publicly traded corporation, so it has its stock on one of the stock markets, you can go to the internet. It's very simple. I do it a lot. You go to the internet, you go to the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, because every publicly traded corporation has to submit, I don't know how many, 6 months or 1 year, its balance sheet. And so you can see the balance sheet of the corporation, and you can search for its debt, and you can find how much debt it's in, right?
Where do you go to?
It's SEC.
It's SEC, yeah.
It'd probably be SEC.gov.
You could search for it, because what comes up on my machine, it says SEC Search Corporation or something like that. I can show you when we're finished on my computer. Oh, I can't because I don't have the internet. But maybe on one of the phones. And so you can find the amount of debt that corporation has. And then if you go down to the notes at the bottom, they usually tell you which banks.
Yeah, that's what you really want to find
and
out.
And the amounts.
Yes.
And when I've ever
of the original loans.
Well, yes, and the sources, the banks who are creating that money them that power.
Like brilliant.
Yeah. And most of them are Wall Street banks. They're multinational banks, because these are big bucks going to these big corporations.
How does that help you in your advocacy?
What?
How does that help you in your local advocacy, knowing what bank?
You work for the bank.
Oh, because you can explain the system to people and say, this is how they're being empowered. They're being kept in business because they're getting loans from these banks. Because, you know, most corporations don't want to invest their own money because then they don't have use of it.
Right.
So they take loans.
So you just trace it back to where the power, you know, you can go after the banks. Well, Wells Fargo with Standing Rock, you know.
That's, oh, yeah.
Is a good example, right?
Right, all
because they're the ones funding the pipeline, you know,
yes.
And then we started to go after the banks that were funding the pipeline, and, you know, and
that's right.
Creating the trail.
But when you go after them, tell the people about the system.
Right, exactly.
That's, you know, that's key. And I know there's a website called Little Sis. Has anyone heard of that? If you look for Little Sis, they Littlesis. Little Sis. And they will take on a project like the pipe. They have one for the pipeline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you go in and you can
see
all
the
banks and the amount of money
right.
that they loaned or created
right. Right.
for that oil drilling company.
There are a number of really good Facebook, things that connected that. And when I went into PNC Bank to say, hey, I want to pull my money. Because of what you're doing, and because you're investing in that pipeline, and they said, I can't believe how many people are coming in and talking to us about this. So that's a direct example of you've got to educate the people. But like you're saying, you've got to link the whole, you know,
to the system.
Misery of the whole system to get people to act. You know, they have to find the place to activate. So anyway,
yeah,
sorry.
They have to find their place in the struggle.
That's right.
You know. Okay. The system funds wars. In 2018, the U.S. maintains the largest military in the entire history of the world, which Fed member banks support by creating bank money and giving loans of billions and billions to the arms industry. And the Fed and its member banks are the single largest owner of U.S. bonds. It's, you know, people say, oh, it's China. It's not. It's the member banks who own the Fed and the 12 Federal Reserve banks on their balance sheet. If you add it all together, it's the biggest amount in any one entity of the owners of our bonds. We own them all. We're paying interest a lot to them, you know. Well, we're paying interest on a money supply to them anyway, so, you know. They're all, and this is the thing, it just hit me this weekend a lot when I was talking about this. What every nuance of the system is created to help the banks. Every single nuance. It's a brilliant system for them.
And both parties have done the same.
Like I said,
protected that process.
Like I said earlier, it got worse when they repealed Glass-Steagall because
right.
they had regulations.
Right. They wanted to get rid of anything that.
Yeah.
that
but regulations won't control the system.
Mm. The system has to change.
Because what will happen very easily. Is the banks will create money and take the money into Congress and buy off the Congress and change the law.
Right.
That's
what they've been
doing.
That's what they've
been doing. For a
long time. They make the laws in Congress.
Exactly.
For a long time.
I know the man who, this greening the dollar in our platform was put into made into a law, and Dennis Kucinich put it into Congress 2 years in a row.
Well, they gerrymandered him out.
That's and they did it because he did
because
that.
Because of that.
Because he was exposing the system.
But why doesn't he become green?
That's kind of a separate issue.
Sorry.
I'm incredibly interested in this topic and I've been wrestling with it for years.
Okay, let me just say, there was one thing I was going
to say.
Oh, so I know the gentleman who worked, there is a group of people who work for the Congress. And to vet laws for the congressman. So if you have a law, you bring it to them and they see how it affects the already existing law and they work with you. So this gentleman worked with Dennis Kucinich for 2 years to vet. It's called the NEED Act, which is greening the dollar. And he came to the American Monetary Institute annual conference 1 year and he told this incredible story. He was, you know, some congressman had come to him to change part of the law, and he looked at the already existing laws. He was for financial law. That was his expertise. So he was fitting the new law into the already existing law, and he looked at the already existing law, and he said, oh, this is so unclear. I think I'll just change it a little to make it clearer, you know. he went home Friday, and he said he got called, like Friday night from his boss, and he said, get your ass into here. All the lobbyists from the banks, when they saw that he was trying to make that clearer, they ran in there, and the whole weekend he was up with this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And they never changed that
this
paragraph.
This was the vetting expert?
Yeah. Yeah, he worked, I don't know, 20 years.
What office was that in Congress?
Congress has people working for them. It's some congressional legal staff, and that's their whole job. If a congressman wants to change a bill or create a new bill.
Okay, the drafting office, I understand.
Yeah, I don't know the exact name. But it's all instrumental about how the banks run our government and create the laws.
They run it like crooks. We can't even pretend they're not.
Like
that's
crooks.
Right. They are.
They are crooks.
Okay.
They are crooks.
The system can be changed. Remember that. Okay. Changing the system. Greening the dollar is based on the work of respected U.S. economists. In 1939, over 400 economists publicly supported the Fisher-Douglas-Graham paper. This is this one here. For reform. It's also known as the Chicago Plan. You can, you know, search for it. And this is the basis of the greening the dollar. It goes back to 400 economists agreeing to this. Of course, they wanted another system after the Great Depression. They weren't even out of the Great Depression. They had another depression in 37 went down. And they knew the current system, and they wanted to scrap it, you know? And so, and they sent this to Roosevelt, and he didn't do anything about it, sat on his desk. Yeah.
Can you read off that website?
The what?
The website,
that one.
Oh, there's no website. These are the names of the...
No,
above.
Just above, there's a website, that.
Oh, faculty.com.
ChicagoBooth.edu
/ AMIR dot SUFI / research / monetary reform one word _ 1939.pdf.
Thank you.
Sure.
Would you be willing to share these slides?
What?
Say that
to send us
the slides. Oh, yes.
Could you
send
them?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
If you just
yeah,
very clearly, you know, at the end of the
yes,
meeting.
We'll leave you our email address.
Yeah, make it clear.
So the question, can anyone find a parallel of the economist support is saying there's been no other effort by as many economists to change the system?
Yes, some other proposal that had so much support. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, this was the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. They were like, wait a minute, we need a new system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roosevelt
didn't do anything. So here, this is from it's a short paper what they wrote. I guess maybe 9 or 10 pages. This is from it. The banks thus exercise what has always unjustly been considered a prerogative of sovereign power, as each bank exercises this power independently, without any centralized control. The resulting changes in the volume of the circulating medium are largely haphazard. This situation is a most important factor in booms and depressions. And this is the pictures from our latest one, caused by the banks, by this system. I'm not going to say the banks, I'm going to talk about the system. And here's Dennis Kucinich. H.R. 2990, known colloquially as the NEED Act, N-E-E-D. He put it into Congress in 2 years, 2010. He submitted it into the committee, and then he did it again in 2011. And these are the three things, the basics of what's in that law, and the basics of what's in greening the dollar in our platform. Number one, the power to create money is taken away from private banks with a simple accounting change. I designed for Citibank my last 15 years of my career. I designed data processing systems for them. Most of it was accounting. Now, I don't have a background in accounting, but every time I got a job in my career, for some reason they gave me the accounting part of the system. So I can tell you, it would not be difficult to change the accounting. The banks do it all the time. They get instructions from the government because laws change and they have to go in and they create a project and these are the programs that have to be changed. And one of the accountants will write up the specifications and you get them. It's so doable. Mm-hmm. We did it all the time, you know. And number two, using federal, state, and municipal levels of government at all levels, the money is going to go to the state. Any new money is going to go to the state on a per capita basis, 25% of new money. The states get to decide, and this is, you know, this is in the NEED Act bill, and I'm telling you. The states get to decide how to use it. Municipalities will have interest-free loans from the federal government. There's no interest on them. Our municipalities don't have to build pools with bond debt anymore to the banks. Banks hate this. And Congress will spend debt-free. If there's no debt, like the bank, we get our money because they create a loan and there's a debt on somebody's shoulders, right? That's totally not necessary. Totally. A whole history, early history of this country, we did not have this kind of money. Okay. Congress spends debt-free government money on physical infrastructure, education, healthcare. This is a way to really fund, over the long term, our Green New Deal without debt. That's the important thing. This is a debt-free money. There's no debt associated with it. The government buys all the shares of the 12 Federal Reserve banks from the member commercial banks and moves it into the Treasury.
It would be rather expensive, wouldn't it?
You know, I figured it out. And it's not that expensive. I was shocked.
What would it?
It was like $32 billion to buy all the shares.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another thing. I had a friend. He had a gold, a numismatic gold business. But he was also into teaching this in his early career. And then he got too scared and he stopped. But while he was teaching it, he became known. He was pretty well known on the internet and radio shows. So he, in 2006, he wrote the New York Federal Reserve, and he asked them, could you send me your capital report showing what banks have what shares in the New York Fed? So they did. They didn't send it to me. I tried a couple of years later. They ignored me. But they did send, and I was shocked when I found out. So there's like 117 banks, private commercial banks, who own the New York Fed stock. 50% of the stock is owned by J.P. Morgan Chase. I was just shocked. 23% of the stock is owned by Citibank. Mm-hmm. Now, the rest is scattered among the other banks. Those are the two biggies. And of course, Citibank is one of the first banks in our country. And was responsible, was actually accused during the Spanish-American War of causing that war. I mean, you know, they've had their little fingers in all those revolutions in South America, you know. J.P. Morgan Chase, well, J.P. Morgan, you know. But I was actually shocked. I wasn't expecting that.
Half. Chase is half.
50% of the shares. Okay, so here's the Greens for Monetary Reform website, and there's a homepage.
This is not directly linked on gp.org?
No. You know, we got it linked before this national meeting, and before the debate with MMT started. We got it linked, actually. The webmaster put it up there. And then when the debate started, the steering committee said, well, we don't want to, you know, they took it out. I didn't think I didn't think they should take it out just simply because it represented the current platform of the party. But they, you know, I don't have any control over the steering committee.
So it's down now? So they took it down?
It's a separate.
No, the link from the national website is not there anymore. But you can just go on the internet and find it.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's been around now for a couple of years. Like this. Okay. Unless the NSA comes in, you know, and takes it down, you know. So you can, and it's kept very simple, right? You don't have to know economics, blah blah blah. So it explains the problem, explains the solution, and it does explain the transition. We could, if we have time, we could do the transition. I sort of like the transition. What did I do? It's so simple here. Okay. Oh, we're near the end anyway. Okay. And there's a history tab. You can go in there. There's class materials you can get. All of the PowerPoints from teaching the book about the history of money, which I taught for two years. And it was a great experience. It was an incredible experience for me. And people either came to my apartment or they Skyped in. They were great students. And I created a PowerPoint, sometimes two, for each chapter because some of the chapters are very dense. And I also recorded each of the classes. So you can go in and, you know, whatever you like, whatever piece of history you like, you can.
So the PowerPoints and the videos are on the History tab?
Well, you go to the History tab, and in there there's a description of the class, and there's a link for class materials, and if you, and that's the end. Support reading the Tao.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
is that
great? You're an unsung hero.
Well,
really.
I fell in love with learning this because when I first discovered this, what happened to me is I said to myself, "Oh, this explains why all of these problems," and I felt such relief. I could think again.
What's the conflict with MMT?
Okay, well, now I'm going to say this, I'm biased, right?
No worries, I don't mind that at all.
Okay, MMT was created in the early 1990s by a billionaire, Warren Mosler.
Okay.
And supposedly...
That makes it dubious right here.
I know. And he's funded the University of Missouri at Kansas City to teach this. So over the years, what has grown up has been some teachers there, some college teachers who start to teach this, and they write a lot of blogs, and they get interviewed a lot. And
is there any practical examples of MMT at work? And is there anywhere someone could say, here's MMT working in this city, country?
Can you say what MMT is?
MMT.
Let me just explain that. MMT stands for Modern Monetary Theory. So it Warren Mosler started it in the early, and you can still listen to, you can go and
I ain't trying to listen
search
to billionaires too. I am biased, very biased when it comes to that.
Because there's a lot of money behind MMT. He funds, he's always funded it.
Is he alive?
Yes.
Warren.
Oh, yeah. In fact, David Cobb has a interview, online interview, and he had me, Warren Mosler, and someone from public banking on.
Oh, good.
And he gave each of us 10 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds like Dave.
Yes, mostly.
Stephanie Kelton is a big.
Yes.
She's a big advocate of this.
Yeah.
So what do you got to say, bro? Yeah.
Well, I think MMT apologists would tell you an example of MMT in practice today is just every year the federal budget, when it gets passed, they will
create whatever money they need.
They create whatever money they want to out of thin air.
Right.
So modern monetary theory is like explaining that phenomenon that you already see.
Right,
like,
and I don't understand the value of recognizing something that's there. So what? It's like, this is America. This is how America works.
So maybe, so they're just saying, you know, instead of like printing money into thin air in order to fund like endless war, let's print money into thin air to fund like everyone having education, food, and houses.
It's a lovely idea.
That's a little amorphous. They're more specific.
And much more generous than other
people. I think that's what it boils down to like a typical person sitting through and trying to listen to it and then like convert it into basic English.
Cool.
That's how I, that's.
Say it again, just a couple sentences again at how you view it.
The dollar doesn't come from taxing people. The dollar comes from literally like creating it into thin air by the Federal Reserve issuing bonds. Mm-hmm. We already do that to fund whatever the oligarchs want us to fund. So modern monetary theory says there really isn't much of a practical limit to how much the federal government can spend. So it's just a question of what the federal government chooses to spend money on. So obviously, like, we should print however much money it takes to fund all the infrastructure and food and housing and healthcare and education that we want.
Well, let me just reinterpret what you just said, because it's important, because right now in the National Committee of our party is a debate going on, because MMT proposals have come in to update our platform. And, okay, so one of the things MMT says is taxes raised by the IRS Treasury and loans gotten from the Treasury selling bonds, that money does not fund our spending. Now that is my study and my talking to people who are in that system, that's
not true.
I don't know. It's where it is. It's not in reality.
That's just another way of saying that, like, we raise X amount of money from taxes, but we spend Y, which is way more than what we raise. That's like a simple, like, arithmetic, like, math, like, proof. That's what they mean when they say, like, federal spending isn't funded through taxes. It's funded through creating money out of thin air.
That's exactly right.
No, who's creating?
What he's saying is exactly right.
Wait, let me have a conversation with him, because MMT is tricky. Who is creating the money out of thin air in MMT's?
The Federal Reserve.
Right. What about the private commercial banks?
They're not really a distinct entity from the Federal Reserve.
Well, okay. So there's one real disagreement I have with the way the world works, that my understanding, because there is a difference between the money that's being transferred within the Federal Reserve, 12 Federal Reserve banks, and the money we're all using created by private commercial banks. So there is a real difference, and so that's one thing. But, okay, the other thing is, and in my handout, it's one of the points I make. I say to MMT, by law, the Federal Reserve law, the 12 Federal Reserve banks are not allowed to create reserves, their money, their Federal Reserve money, and put it into the reserve account of the U.S. Treasury at the New York Fed. It's by law they can't do that. And MMT comes up with all different scenarios of how that's currently possible, you know. So I don't, you know, they're tricky. It's not my understanding of the way the world works. Yeah.
I read many, many years ago a little phrase that stayed in my mind, that each of the presidents that, and this is where tried to start printing money by the government, tried to pull power away from the Federal Reserve System. Each one of those was assassinated.
Mm-hmm. You mean the presidents?
I think Kennedy did.
Well, there is, who really knows, but it's true.
I didn't say assassinated because of that, but
right.
is there? I'm
just turns out.
But it's true. They were talking about the system, like meaning the dollar mm-hmm. system, because you know this is the thing to keep in mind.
Which president's what? Do you remember?
Well, definitely Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
But also the fellow after him. I always forget his name.
Grant?
No. Right around there.
Harrison?
Not Harrison. He's sort of an unknown president.
Okay. So
but
the one
he,
after Lincoln.
Yeah. So I, if I saw a list of presidents, I could do it. And McKinley.
Mm-hmm.
We've had what? And then Kennedy. So we've had four assassinations. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, Kennedy wanted to eliminate the Federal Reserve also.
That's what
he wanted to replace it with the silver standard.
Yeah, well, he was fiddling around mm-hmm. with
What's
all
the
of that.
Well, we have the gold standard.
They were on the U.S. used to be on the gold standard.
Right.
You had to have the money backed by gold.
And that makes, that to me, that's like, I mean, to me, gold is just an arbitrary thing.
Yeah, well, that's
you know
what
I mean?
Well,
so which is just putting money into the thing. It's just an arbitrary thing.
Nixon took us off the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
And went to the petrodollar.
Yeah.
Or on the oil standard.
The money
that's
is backed by the petrodollar now.
Yeah.
But
it's backed by all our labor here.
Yeah.
To
that's
me.
What it's backed by.
Sorry.
That's okay.
To me, when I think of money, what is money actually? It's just a way to make bartering easier. So you
True.
Don't have to find someone who needs whatever you
That's
provide.
That's exactly right.
Right. So,
but
so
the thing
she's,
is,
she's talking.
Oh.
So yeah, it should be very. It just you should be able to just create it out of money, because it all it does is make it easier for one person to barter with. You know, mm-hmm. I don't need to find somebody who needs well dug, or whatever. to facilitate trading. Okay,
but,
go ahead. You can
talk. Bless
your
heart, Matthew.
It's rough, eh? Permission comes from here.
No, it's very important. You know, men have strong voices, and a lot of times people have a long time of, it becomes very unconscious even, of overriding.
I
have difficulty too about jumping in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all,
and then the knowledgeable people.
You're all snowflakes, what can I say? I'm a girl flake. You're a snowflake.
So,
well,
let me just
say
to what you said, it's very interesting. It's interesting what you said. What's your name?
Catherine.
Early on in our country, in the colonies,
mm-hmm.
right? There was gold and silver from England, because we were British colonies. But the colonists had to pay taxes to England. They had to buy their tools from England. So all the gold and silver went back that way. And there wasn't very much money. So colonists were actually returning to Europe because of that. They couldn't make a living. And what happened was Ben Franklin came along. He's incredible. He understood money. He understood what you were saying about that, what it should be used for,
mm-hmm.
as a means of exchange.
Right, right.
Not making interest by
right.
making, you know,
right.
this crap. So he educated people. You know, he had his little, you know, newspaper, and he sat and talked to his friends, and the colonies, 1690, the first colony issued its own paper money, debt-free, from its legislature. That's what it did. And that system spread through all the 13 colonies. And the other thing I was so surprised to learn is that the colonists wouldn't allow private banks into the colonies. When I read that, I said, what do you mean? I have banks all over me in New York, and haven't they been around forever? No. They would not let those banks into the colonies because they knew, they saw what happened in England where this current system comes from. That was fascinating. I was just like, they were smart. You see, they issued debt-free money direct from their legislatures,
mm-hmm.
you know. And they were experimenting. It was new to them. But as Benjamin Franklin said, there was prosperity when they did that. People mm-hmm. had jobs. They could, you know, they weren't out, they weren't homeless.
And they weren't hungry.
You know, it may, that's the power of a debt-free money system.
So I read his autobiography, and I'm also incredibly impressed with him. And if you haven't read it, I really recommend it. It's very sparse. It's a small document, and it's got like a 30-year gap in it. But he talks in at one point in there about what I'm always talking in my head about how to say this, is that we don't need corporations. What he did was called a subscription. When he and his friends wanted to start a business, then each of the friends wanted to put in money, they just pooled their money and they got a percent of the business. And there was no limited liability. Corporate limitation of liability was not there. So it's not like if we get rid of corporations, we stop economic progress and investment, but we do it without stopping. I have to say, disclosure, I'm a member of one board with limited liability insurance, but it means you don't lose the ethical responsibility for
right.
your decisions about the money. And so I think when we say to people, I mean, that can be a great way to communicate, is, you know, Ben Franklin never, corporations really didn't exist in the United States when we were founded,
Well, right.
But
corporations started our colonies. They were corporate ships that came over.
Yes, from England.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Corporations have been around for a while.
But there were, I guess, generated. There are other ways to pool and invest money besides the unethical. By definition, corporations are unethical because of their limited liability.
That's right.
Well,
exactly.
Don't co-ops come in? Never co-ops come into this.
I think they still have directors' liability.
Probably.
On the board of directors.
Probably.
But I'm curious also about what you see is if the public bank concept of, and North Dakota's situation affects this at all.
Well, public banking definitely has advantages, you know, because the interest is going back to the state to be used for state expenses. But it doesn't, I don't put my energy behind, I mean, I like to talk to public banking people because they respect me and I respect them. But I put my energy into this because this is still going on, even with state banking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the system is still in
debt.
Place.
It's still the same
public
system.
Owned debt,
yeah.
Of private
mm-hmm. yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
The problem that I kind of see personally is, well, like when I was in banking, there were usury laws, limits on the amount of interest that could be charged to people. And the biggest problem now is those have been wiped away, I think, almost completely.
Is that
and
the
some
Glass-Steagall?
Well, that's 1980.
They took that
away.
And so they can just charge enormous.
I think it was 8% was the average that was the top.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was not.
Oh, yeah.
Was that a law that was passed?
Yeah, it was in
law. What about those payday loans?
And then those started to flourish.
Yeah.
When you figure out their annual interest, it's 400%.
Yeah, you know who they. You know who owns payday loans?
I did.
Like
now
City Bank.
Do they?
Bank
they
of
really?
America.
Oh yeah.
All the big banks.
I didn't know.
All the big banks own those payday loans. They're making a fortune off of them.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Well, you know,
right?
Poor. You know what? I really feel like this. They're not doing it for the money.
And
they're
forcing
doing it
poor
to keep
people to
us
only
to
have
control.
Debt to make you
control
right.
us. Exactly.
If you're a
low
income
yes,
person,
they
you can't really
us
get the bank.
Right, you can't. Are you
saying
they're doing it for both? They're doing it to control everybody and for the money.
The people didn't have the money had to pay the most in fees, and then they were giving away things no to
her. It ultimately comes down to the money.
Yeah.
It's all about the money. It's always all
money
about the money. I'm sorry I'm talking loud, but it's always about the money.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Oh,
you know, because they're taking money out of your pocket.
Hell yeah.
And remember,
and my sister and my brother.
Money is
power
in this country.
Yeah.
Money
is
power.
Right.
I know.
But there's also the whole, on the good side, the solution side, is the whole alternative to power, which is the whole different relationship of human beings. Of trusting of time banks. Are you supporting time banks?
What's a time bank?
time bank is where you have communities arrange systems where people exchange hours of each other's time.
Yes.
Right.
And, we have that
and
in
it's
Ithaca.
A service barter system.
Right.
And it not only helps people in a non-cash, it's very good in depressed economies, people can continue living, but it also specifically works well when it re-nourishes the social fabric, the community fabric. And they've learned from experience that even the nuts and bolts only works if they design in the community fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely.
We have one near where I live.
Which is where?
There.
Oh, that, I mean, I support that. But
okay.
I still go back to if we don't get this
plan.
Off our back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Alternative power is not going to be about power, I think. And if we're going to be nonviolent, I think what I really personally have found need to pour our effort into building the alternative and just suck the life out of that system by taking the people over to
them. That's kind of what Cobb was saying in the last session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're not going to die without a fight, y'all.
Yeah.
They're not just going to let us do something different.
Right, exactly.
Just saying.
They like it the way it is.
And that's the reason why we have to educate people about this.
Yeah.
So they turn their back on it and do something different,
so,
like she said.
You seem to know what about MMT, or maybe what's
I know a little bit about it.
The difference between MMT and, because it seems to me like there's the same or very, very similar.
Well, yeah. What would be the short elevator pitch for greening the dollar? Because the short elevator pitch for MMT is there's really no limits to how much money we can issue and what we can spend.
Who's
we? We being any like monetary sovereign.
The government, the U.S. government.
Yeah. No, you're saying they're talking about the Treasury Department is creating all this money, or
could
the
Federal
New York
Reserve.
Federal Reserve is creating all this money? Who's creating all the money?
The Fed.
Federal Reserve.
And you're saying there's no difference between the Federal Reserve and private banking,
but there is
kind of in the concept of MMT.
My understanding is that the Federal Reserve is it's basically 12 regional.
Right.
Groups, and those regional groups are owned by J.P. Morgan and Citibank.
Exactly.
Right. So
right.
It's almost a public relations.
But who's who does MMT say is actually, which part of our government structure is actually creating the money, and how are they creating?
It would be the Federal Reserve, the same way they do today when Congress authorizes an appropriations bill that's far and above the amount of tax levies that they're currently doing this. They're saying we're going to spend $800 billion on the military while we slash taxes.
Right.
They literally already do that.
They're already doing
so
it. Exactly.
Right, but
modern
monetary theory explains
that phenomenon as just saying like, hey, in case you guys thought that you had to raise taxes to spend money, look at what's currently happening.
That's
it's
right.
not true.
You're
so
exactly
all we have
right.
to do is if we were to take control of Congress, pass an appropriations bill that says we're going to give $1 trillion to every man, woman, and child per month on Earth.
Right.
Let's do that. Why not, Frank? You know?
You have to, MMT has to prove to me that this is the way the current system works, because that's not my understanding. I've talked to a number of people who work in the government. I've talked to a lot of very experienced monetary reformers who have studied our system for many years, and what a lot of most of what MMT says is not the way that our world works, and you know.
How
so
does it work?
Can I ask a question before? Why are we?
Y'all can't be using up my time.
Why are we?
I'm trying to leave on time.
We,
so I love you.
How many trillions
out of
dollars
here at 4
is U.S. in debt?
It's after 20.4 trillion.
Now, why do you think they're in debt?
Okay.
I'll tell you why. Because MMT gives,
oh my God,
creates the, I mean, the Federal Reserve creates the money, and they're not collecting enough taxes. Because like he said, they have taxes.
I have asked her in response to that for her understanding of the current system, the factual basis. So I would be nice if she could respond to what
the Reserve can't create money, only the local banks.
But
my degree in economics
let's hear Susan's spin.
You're on my time, though.
Then you
jump.
Let me say a few basic things. Basic things, the way this process works. Right now, our Treasury Department is its function, one of its major functions, is to pay our bills, to spend money, right? That money that they get to spend is sitting as reserves in an account called the Treasury account at the New York Fed. That's our money. The money that gets into that account to be spent by the Treasury only gets there right now because of the Federal Reserve Law of 1913 through taxing us or giving loans, selling loans at auction to the general public, and the money they borrow from the public gets put in that account. Those are the two ways. MMT is saying, oh no, they're saying something that is not only not according to our current law, but it's something the banks would never allow. Remember, they created this law for themselves. They're not stupid. They knew exactly everything they were putting in that law, and there's nothing in that law that was going to benefit us, just them. And there's nothing, it's put in the Federal Reserve Law, I can show you where when the federal government, the Treasury, goes to auction out its bonds and borrow money from the public, it has to do that through 20, right now there's 20 primary dealers, which are Wall Street banks. Mm-hmm. It all goes through the banks. The New York Fed itself cannot create reserves and put it directly into our Treasury account. It's forbidden by the Federal Reserve Law.
So they force that market out to the private sector.
Yes, yeah, so because it's going through the banks. They're getting all the fees for every one of that auction stuff. Plus, they're buying them. Now remember, I sort of mentioned at the beginning, the majority of the money we use is created by these private commercial banks when they give loans to everybody. But
they also
get to create their money when they buy securities. Think of that. When a Federal Reserve, when a private commercial bank goes out to buy a government bond, they get to create the money.
Ooh.
Oh yeah.
Holy
it took me
God.
Years to get to that level.
Can you say that again?
Right, yes.
Whenever a private commercial bank decides to buy, whether it's a government bond, a municipal bond, or they decide to buy a state bond or a federal bond, they create the money to buy it. It took me years to compute that in my head because it was beyond me.
So that's in addition to the loans.
Yes.
So that's a separate avenue through which they exercise the same.
Yes. So some of the bonds that the Treasury Department is selling in auction to the public,
they're
buying.
They're
all going through these primary dealers.
Yeah.
You know. And the primary dealers will sell them on to their customers or they'll keep them for their own. And when they keep them for their own, they buy them from the Fed. They're creating money to buy them from the Fed. A lot of it they'll sell on to their customers to get their money back. But the system is based on the power of the bank.
She has a question.
Well, I'm just trying to, I have to keep it simple, and I have to try to understand it. So I think this is how I'm understanding, so just tell me if I'm wrong. Like the difference between MMT and greening of the dollar is that MMT is just doing the same thing the way they currently do, basically just putting in enough, raising the income or whatever to provide whatever they need to provide for whatever the budget requires, regardless of if the taxes are collected. What you're saying is that you just put in whatever is needed to pay for everything, but it's debt-free. But see, the thing is, the way they're doing it, both with MMT and with what we currently now, is if there's a debt created, then the banks are the ones that are now going to profit off that debt because they're going to cover that debt at interest, right? So the greening of the dollar takes away the interest.
It takes away the power to create money from private banks.
Right, and they're not profiting. They have no ability to profit.
Well, they'll be left.
Because they do the same thing now. they say, okay, we're going to spend this many billions on military,
right,
and so we're going to borrow to cover it.
Yes.
And so the bank, when the government borrows, they're borrowing from the banks, and the banks are earning interest.
Yeah.
But they don't need to do it.
This is like the Monopoly game, just printing the money. It's pure fantasy money. But it actually creates an illusion of wealth and power.
It's not fantasy. Yeah. It's what we all live on. It really should be a promise.
So is
what it should be.
So is the point to green the dollar, or is the point to demonetize our society and economy?
I don't believe you could have the level of expertise and without money right now. I mean, I just can't conceive.
You mean economic function?
What?
You mean economic function as a mechanism of exchange?
Yes, the level of, I mean, all the years of developing the complicated society we have now, with so much having been created and shared, there's a lot.
Not to get rid of it entirely, but if we're buying local food, and if we're trying to buy local, using time banks for a significant portion of our labor, and we're really reducing, using recycling, and I like to stick on restore, regenerate, and relax.
Yeah. Relax is good.
we can maybe shift half the economy to a demonetized state, and in that sense, pull the poison from the fangs of this monster, and then we have less of a monster to transition to green money.
Y'all can talk about this over dinner.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Oh, is it time? Sorry,
you're
so
doing the next one? I'm
ideally,
scared for the next one, too. Is it?
Oh.
This is wonderful. Oh, thank you.
Yes,
I got 12. Yeah.
Many blessings.
Yeah.
No hate. I'm just getting it done time, which means it's nice to start.
Sure. Please send those slides.
I have some.
Please send those slides.
Here, I have a handout about the history of this system. I don't know anyone on the history.
What's the author of the book?
Stephen Zarlanger. Even going there. And I have one post that I did on the list. Anybody want to?
Yes.
Well, I'm here for the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Why not?
You were terrific.
Awesome.
Thank you all for coming. And learn the system and share it with other greens.
Yes, that's what we're going to
and
beyond.
Eat it.
Your
yes.
goal is to go out and piss off humans with this information.
Well, piss off banks.
No, we want to kill them.
Do you have you heard about the Ithaca dollar? I mean, there was a big effort in Ithaca, New York.
So they
created their own dollar.
Yeah, I know that. Y'all can talk about that.
So I want to go back and find out.
This one has
not a panel, just a conversation or whatever the hell it becomes. But it has to start, so it has to
click. So time banks and time dollar are the same thing, basically.
I want to go back to Ithaca and dig in and find out, because there's been lots of effort to undermine that. And I don't know where things stand now, but I'd like to learn it relative to this conversation.
Yeah,
the
local currencies, they still exist.
Yeah, they do.
So
we could go on for another hour.
Oh, if you have
to
sign up.
We have to have another
sign up
workshop.
For,
just
I'll send you information.
Yeah, I don't like feeling homicidal, so I don't want to talk anymore about banks.
This was great.